The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president, CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, and we're here each and every Sunday morning providing you some financial advice in a language you can understand from 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday. So I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. There's no religious aspect to it, no impressing anybody kind of aspect to it. It's just hang out with the family. And if you're lucky, you hang out with the family you like. You know, that's one of those things. Sometimes, Aunt Ethel has to come again for Thanksgiving. You know, I love Thanksgiving because we've just gotten to come to the point where we say, you know what? We're going to invite the people we want to invite for Thanksgiving. And we had 24 people. It was a fabulous, fabulous all day and evening affair. Lots of food, lots of conversation, music, fun, lots of great stories. And I hope you also had a fabulous Thanksgiving. We each year, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but about 3 years ago, we started frying a turkey. You ever done that? The turkey fryer thing? And, you know, everyone does the baked stuffed turkey, right? Everyone makes the stuffing the night before. You shove it into the turkey. You cook it for 4, 5, 6 hours, depending upon the size of the turkey. Well, a couple of years ago, someone told me to try this fried turkey idea. And so I said, you're crazy. This is going to be horrible. So we actually made, you know, the baked stuffed turkey. Of course, we stuck that in the oven, but we also did a turkey as we fried it. And you drop it into the turkey fryer. So our 20-pound turkey this year that we got a 20-pound turkey. 50 minutes later, turkey's done. It's nice and bronze and copper gold on the outside. Moistest turkey you've ever eaten before in your life. No, you don't cook the stuffing in it. That would kind of be messy in the turkey pot. But man, was that good turkey. And so we've done this 3 years in a row now. But we had to expand our menu along the table. There were 24 people, so we had turkey. My wife also made a roast, and she also made salmon, because there were some people that, well, we don't eat turkey, we don't eat beef, but we eat fish. You know, you got to accommodate everybody. You know, don't you remember the years when you were a kid, your mother would put stuff on the table, and if you didn't like what she was serving that day, you go hungry, right? Or you got to find something else on your own. She's not making anything else. I find it fascinating how accommodating we have become to everybody's dietary and food needs. I guess that's part of life, and we've done that, and we had a lot of great stuff. My brother-in-law, who is Indian, joins us each year, and one of the things that I try to do is I love to cook, and so we made a couple Indian dishes for him this year. We make different ones each year, and that was kind of fun. We made, I made a curry corn chowder, which was quite good, and the other thing was, I can't remember the name of it. It's a chickpea dish. But we made that for him as well. And it was very good. Speaking of India, I just learned this week, I learned that I have been invited to speak in India, in Mumbai. That's where I'm supposed to be going on, I think it's going to be like the last week of January, first week of February, somewhere around there. We're going to Mumbai, and we're speaking to 500 financial advisors. We're going to be running the keynote address at their national conference and then running a workshop the next day for them. I've always wanted to go to India, and frankly, I don't have much perspective on what goes on except for what my brother-in-law tells me. And, of course, what I've seen in the movies Slumdog Millionaire and Million Dollar Arm. So I'm really fascinated to learn about how 2 billion people live in a country that is smaller than the United States, yet seems to be a very happy country, People enjoy their family, their lifestyle. They enjoy life. And so the interesting thing was the company that invites me, they said, well, Mark, you know, we want to put you up in a really nice hotel. We'll put you up in one of our 5-star hotels in Mumbai. And I said, great. And so I start looking to see what the 5-star hotels are that they're going to be choosing from. It's a hotel, actually. They're calling it the Lalit Hotel or something. But the other ones that fall into that are the traditional ones that you and I know, the Four Seasons, the Ritz-Carlton, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you want to stay there, that's big bucks. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a pretty fancy event. And I learn for the week that I'm going to stay at these 5-star hotels, to stay in a suite, it is $200. $200 to stay in a suite. I learned that to eat at some of the finest restaurants that I will be going to, the total cost for an appetizer, entree, dessert, and drinks for my wife and I will be around $44. It is dirt cheap. I learned that $50,000 as a household income, if you make more than $50,000, you are among the 1%ers in India. Amazing, isn't it? Try to put that into perspective here in America. Imagine if $50,000 in income puts you in the 1%. You know, it's 5 times that amount here in America to be in America's 1%. It's $250,000. Now, some will say it's $450,000. But generally, the statistic is $250,000. You are in America's 1%. It is amazing. You know, and it made me reflect back on this election over the past couple weeks that, you know, you may not be happy with the outcome. None of us may be happy with the outcome. Or maybe you are happy without the outcome, whatever it might be. The bottom line is that we as Americans learned a very powerful lesson, that we are very guarded and very shielded in our understanding of how America works. We look at life through the blinders that we see in the streets and the neighborhoods and the places that we eat and the places that we go to work. We're not all that aware of what happens in Alabama and Mississippi and Nebraska and Iowa, where millions, tens of millions of people live in a totally different lifestyle than you and I have grown accustomed. This past week, I made a presentation at the North Andover High School. I go in and teach Mr. Oberlander's personal finance class for one class every year. So there were two classes. He has two personal finance classes, so I did that this week. And I shared with them the conversation about what does it mean to live on your own? What does it mean to make enough money to support your lifestyle? And so we talked first by trying to understand what is the average household income in America? And so we went and we pulled up a variety of reports and we learned that in America, the average household income is about $47,000. $47,000. That's for a household. That could be a household of 2 adults and 2 children. $47,000. Now you might think, ooh, $47,000. I could never live off that for the whole family. Well, what's interesting is we went and drilled down a little further, and it's really easy to find this information out. You can Google it and there's plenty of sources to support the data. In Massachusetts, do you know what the average household income is in Massachusetts? $67,000. That's the average household income in Massachusetts. Now, that's almost 30% greater. What are we talking about? That's almost 50% greater than the average household income in America. But you know what that means when there's an average of $47,000? That means that there's 100+ million people who make less than that, that have less than that as household incomes. And you know where many of those people are located? They're located in the area that you and I aren't very familiar with. We've heard the term the Rust Belt, right? Running from the Dakotas all the way down to Alabama and Mississippi and everything that's wide in between that. From the Mississippi River to the Rocky Mountains. Everything that fills in that area. What's fascinating with that group is that, and I was talking to the students about this, I said, how many of you have ever been to an assembly line production warehouse? None of us have really ever done that. You've probably never taken your kids anywhere to see that. But in the Rust Belt, there are tons and tons and tons of families. But that's their life. They work in factories. They work running the assembly line. Their job does not require that much of a skill set. In fact, it's one skill. It's making sure that the bag is sealed, or that the bottle is on top, or that the packaging is filled the proper way, or that the temperature of whatever's moving through the machine is proper. And if it's not, you hit the red button. And if it's working fine, you let the green button go. And that's what you do. Watch, watch, watch. I mean, you saw, remember Laverne and Shirley? Remember the sitcom Laverne and Shirley? And they were where? The Hops Brewing Company or whatever it was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? And they would watch the bottle caps go on the bottles. That goes on every day. And you know what? People aren't doing that anymore even. The machines are doing it, and people's jobs are to watch to be sure that it actually happens. And that's what you do. It's monotonous. It is monotony. Now, should people be paid a lot of money for that type of a skill? You know, you can decide that. And once, it's one of the reasons that America has shipped many of those jobs off to India and Bangalore and all of these other places, because it is mindless work and could be done for pennies. Look, the folks in India that I was talking to, the typical worker who works in on the line, works in a factory, makes $400 a month. $400 a month. But we have to figure out a way to help those that are living in the Rust Belt earn a proper wage, to make a proper living. They haven't seen an increase in wages in almost 15 years. Imagine if you were making the same amount of money, hourly wage or salary, I don't care. It was the same for the past 15 years. And you know what's even more interesting about that group is that the reason that they got the wages haven't gone up is because their employers have either said, if you don't continue to take the same pay and reject a potential raise, we'll just fire you, because there are plenty of people in America who will take your job. And that's what's happening throughout this country. We need to figure that out. We need to realize that just because Massachusetts has an average household income of $67,000, we're forgetting about the average household income of South Dakota that might have it around $27,000. There's a lot of people in a lot of these states. And we need to prepare. I mean, we talk about wanting, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, making everything equal, or at least treat everybody fairly. We can't treat everybody equally. I think we can treat everybody fairly. I think that's a better statement there. But we need to do a better job of it. And America spoke. And I don't necessarily think that they were voting for the candidate who won. I think they were voting for the message, not the messenger. And that's what will be the conversation that will continue to prosper throughout the next 4 years, I believe. Well, how do we change? How do we keep the message that America is worth something from coast to coast, from top to bottom, from the hills to the valleys, to the plains, to the mountains, to everywhere? And how do we create a fair environment where we're taking care of our people in America first? I think it's a great question to ask. And clearly, the media was surprised. I was very surprised, as you well know. I think most people, certainly in Massachusetts, we were very surprised. I don't necessarily think people in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Michigan or Florida, where those states, they were swing states and they voted for Trump, I don't think they were nearly as surprised as we were. Because you know what? We didn't get all the ads. We didn't get inundated with phone calls. We didn't get the pressure from all of these people standing out protesting, I should say. We didn't see that because we knew how Massachusetts would vote. Look, Hillary Clinton got every single county in Massachusetts. She won every single one of them. That's not to say that Donald Trump didn't get a decent number of votes, but Hillary Clinton won in every single county. There was never a question. But there was a question from the perspective of the American people across this country. And it's something that I think we were all humbled by, we all learned by. And so now how do we prepare our finances? How do we build our financial resources to prepare for the next 4 years and beyond? There's a lot of unanswered questions, and I'm going to try to provide you some financial advice in a language you can understand when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we have been providing financial planning and investment advice for more almost 50 years. My dad started the firm back in 1968. I joined the firm in 1991, and then dad retired in 2007. And on January 1st of this year, he will have been retired for 10 years. But don't you worry, because we are very fortunate that my dad and I brought on Marion Gilman back in 2000 to join us and she became a partner in the firm a couple of years ago. So Marion and I, you've heard her sometimes here as a guest on the radio. She is not here today because she's spending time this weekend with her family for Thanksgiving. And I want to express a sincerest, most deepest set of gratitude and thanks to Marion for all that she does in the office, for how she takes care of our clients, how she cares so well for every need that they might have, how she cares for our office and certainly takes care of things when I'm traveling, when I'm doing other things. And she has just been an extraordinary, extraordinary resource for our office. And we are so thankful to have her in the office. I also want to thank a few other people. I want to thank the rest of my staff. Let me tell you a little bit about them, because oftentimes go unnoticed in my office, and they are the reason that things run so smoothly. Look, in our office, we have 450 households who we serve. And we have room to add more. If you'd like to, if now might be the time after sitting for Thanksgiving and saying, you know what, we really need to get serious about our financial planning and investment management needs, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You can leave a message. Jody will call you back on Monday and we'll set you up. So let me tell you a little bit about the staff. Jody, who generally answers the phone, I've given her the title of Director of First Impressions. Really, it's a pretty cool title, and Jody loves that title. She basically is the face, the front face of the firm. When you come into my office, when you call up on the phone, Jody is, if you will, the gatekeeper. She's the one who is going to greet you. If you come in for an appointment, she's always going to ask you for coffee. Now, I didn't know this. Jody has this thing about, she actually used to work at a day spa. And I didn't realize that people sometimes have preferences when you ask them for what cup of coffee they want. Yeah, we've always heard of regular and decaf. But she's like, would you like dark roast or medium roast coffee? When she asks if they'd say, would you like a water? Would you like ice water? Or would you like room temperature water? I didn't realize there was a difference, but people actually have a preference. I have never considered that there was a preference there, but there is. And Jody is so good at just keeping the conversation going, making people feel comfortable, because she sincerely cares about the people that walk into the office. When you get letters sent out to me, when you get newsletters, any type of communication, any type of marketing of our company, it generally runs through Jody's desk. She schedules all the appointments. She manages my calendar, and she is an absolute pleasure to have in the office. She's been with us, I think, a little bit more than 3 years now, and I don't know what I'd do without her. She's been fabulous. Two other people that you probably have never heard of but may run into if you call the office. One is Sonia. Sonia's been with me for a little more than 7 years now, I think. Sonia is our operations person. So when the time comes for you to need paperwork processed, you want to open up accounts, you need to have money sent to you, you need dividends handled, you need to change the registration from an individual account to a trust account, Sonia handles all of that for you. One of the things that we try to do in our office is give you financial peace of mind. I want you to feel as if everything is being taken care of. You give us the tools, you give us the pieces of information that we need, we'll provide you the advice, and then we will make sure things happen. And Sonia is our bulldog about that. She makes sure it gets done and gets done right. Elaine is the third person in our office. She is what we call a para planner. So Elaine's job is to prepare Marion and I in the advance of meetings that we have with you. Not necessarily the first meeting, but once you've become a client, you're going to come in for reviews in our office. We're going to review your overall financial plan. We're going to update your net worth statement. We're going to show you how your investments have been performing. We're going to let you know if there's changes that need to be made. And Elaine is the one that prepares Marion and I for those meetings. So everybody has a particular role in our office, and it is critical. We all work collectively as a team, and I'm just so appreciative and so thankful for those and all the others that support our business as well. You know, as we approach the end of December, it's coming up. I can't believe it. Coming up in just a week or so. we got to start thinking about end of the year stuff. No, I mean, I'm sure you're probably thinking about Christmas and Hanukkah and all the end of the year holidays. People always ask me, Mark, when's Hanukkah this year? Just so you know, it overlaps with Christmas this year, so it's not that confusing. So sometimes Hanukkah can be like in November, but this year it overlaps with Christmas. But you want to be thinking about year-end tax planning. There's 12 months in the year. We generally save it all up for the last month to get last-minute things done. So let me give you a few ideas of things that you want to be considering. I want you to take a look at your portfolio. I want you to take a look, especially your non-retirement portfolio. This might be in a portfolio that you own individually. Maybe you own it jointly. Maybe it's in a trust. Maybe it's in a TOD or a transfer on death account. I want you to look at the investments and gather an understanding as to whether you have gains and or losses in your portfolio this year. There may be an opportunity, if you want, to clean up some stuff in your portfolio. Maybe it's time to take some losses. Maybe it's time to take some gains. Maybe you have losses that you can use to offset those gains. Remember, on your tax return at the end of the year, well, when you file your tax return in April for this 2016 year, you'll be able to report up to a negative $3,000 in tax loss. So, and that's, you've always been able to do that. So if you've made $10,000 on one investment and you lost $15,000 on another investment, you have a net $5,000 loss, right? You made 10, you lost 15, the net is $5,000 if you sell the investments. Now, you can't show $5,000 as a loss in your tax return this year. You can show $3,000, and then you can carry over the $2,000 for the following year. So what I want you to think about, though, is there was another thing last year in 2015. Many people got burned by what things were called a capital gain distribution. A lot of these funds paid very, very large capital gain distributions. What this is, it's an extra dividend that gets paid out November to December or so from fund companies that is the result of trading activity that they have done in their portfolio. It's gains that they've made over the course of the year that they have to distribute out in real money to you. Last year, that number was extraordinarily high. And many people were shocked when they went to go visit with their accountant and they found out, I know what? And they set you up, and your accountant might have set you up for estimated tax payments for this year. I'd like to advise you to take a look. Talk to your financial advisor. Talk to the financial institution that you might work with, or just do it on your own. Try to get an estimate of what capital gain distributions are going to be looking like in your portfolio this year. If you haven't seen them or if you don't know where to get them, one website that I recommend strongly is called Cap Gains Valet, CapGainsValet.com, CapGainsValet.com. You can put in any mutual fund that you own and see what is the capital gain distribution expected for the year. So what you'll generally see there, it might say $1.12. And you might think, oh, $1.12, that's my gain? That's it? I can handle that. No, it's $1.12 per share that you own. So you have to do the math. And that $1.12 will be subject to tax. It may be long-term capital gains tax. It might be short-term capital gains tax. But what I would try to do is I would look at your last year's tax return. Look at Schedule D of your tax return. If you paid capital gain taxes or capital gain distributions, you generally have a Schedule D that was reported for you on your tax return. Look to see what that number was last year. Compare that number to this year's number. My guess is you're going to see a dramatically smaller number. And what that's going to mean is that the estimated taxes that you've been paying over the past year may not have to repeat next year. But you're going to want to check that out. Talk to your accountant about it. If you're a client of ours, we're already talking to you about it. If you're doing it on your own, check it out. You owe it to yourself. You want to be smart in the way that you're managing your tax liability. Look, like I said, many people aren't a fan of Donald Trump, but when he said at his debate that he was proud of not paying taxes, people might have been upset about that, but you know what? Wouldn't you be proud if you could pay less taxes, if you could figure out a way to do it? Look, nobody wanted to hear that answer, but that was kind of a reality check. That's one of those things where, should we announce that Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes? Or should we announce that Donald Trump is using the system that we've created to figure out a way so he doesn't have to pay as much tax. It's all in the way it's presented. Look, if I can help you figure out ways that you can pay less tax on your income and the distributions that you make, you're going to take advantage of it too. Yeah, as you get more and more and more wealthy, there are ways in which you can minimize your taxes differently. There's a lot more choices. But the average person can do this too. You just have to be a little savvy, a little smart. And, you know, some people want to just, frankly, cheap out. They don't want to pay anybody for the advice on how to do it. They want to get free advice all the time. Well, you know what? There's a cost that you need to pay to get professional advice and guidance. And it's worth it, folks. It is absolutely worth it. Pay your accountants, pay your financial advisor, pay your attorney, whomever it might be, to get that financial advice. It is well worth the money that you spend. So that capital gain distribution number, the tax loss number, that's something that you really need to be thinking about for the end of this year. However, it is very possible that next year, tax rates could be lower than they are this year. You know, if you were thinking about selling a piece of property or selling a large investment where you're going to have a capital gains tax, might it make sense to wait until after the first of the year? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But my guess is you don't have any risk on worrying whether the capital gains tax rate will go up next year. My guess is it will remain either the same or go down. I don't know where taxes are going, but there's one, you know, with a Republican-run White House, Congress, and Senate, or House of Representatives and Senate, I should say, you're not likely to see taxes go up. In fact, you're likely to see some taxes get eliminated. Now, one of the taxes that may be eliminated, and this could change the industry altogether, is there could be the elimination of the estate tax. That's what's being discussed right now. Right now, if you die, and in fact, I was looking at the number here, for 2016, each person can die. Now, get this. Now, you might be laughing at this. Each person can die with $5.5 million to their name. But people that are over, that have more than $11 million, 5.5 plus 5.5 is 11. There was a tax of almost 45% on anything that you owned over that amount of money. Now, the number of people that are truly impacted by this is small in percentage to the overall population. And people were saying that that was really an unnecessary tax. And it wasn't even bringing in that much tax money in the first place. So there may be the likelihood that that tax, estate tax, gets repealed altogether, that there is no estate tax. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? It will come with concessions. It will come with concessions. So what's one of those concessions to consider? One of those concessions is the fact that if you own, maybe you know this, let's say you were working for the GE and you owned stock and you purchased stock at $2 a share, or maybe you purchased GE at $2 a share, but today it's selling at $30 a share. You know that if you sold the stock, you'd have to pay tax on it, don't you? Well, with these new changes in laws, this may change a bit. And you want to know what the changes are going to be? Stay tuned. I'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Since 1989, more than a million New Englanders have come to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater to listen for those two wonderful words that mean Christmas is here.
Bah, humbug.
Join Ebenezer Scrooge, Tiny Tim, and the area's largest cast of actors, singers, and revelers for the 26th annual production of A Christmas Carol. In this lavish musical adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic, you'll see Victorian England come to vibrant life accompanied by a live orchestra and a dazzling array of ghostly special effects. See the show the Boston Globe has called flawless and spellbinding for all ages. North Shore Music Theater's production of A Christmas Carol plays from December 9th through December 23rd. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by ASR Roofing.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and in the southern New Hampshire area. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, give our office a call. I'd love to schedule an initial consultation with you. It is free. You get to meet with me. And we just talk about stuff. That's all. I just want to give you some clarity. Look, it's likely that you've got boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. You're overwhelmed. You're confused. There's so many questions that you want to have answered. And you're tired of listening to Bobby Joe and Mrs. Sue and your teacher and your coworker and everybody else around the Thanksgiving table on who has the best advice on what you should do with your money. It's time that you got objective investment advice. Objective advice that comes at the fiduciary level, which means that the advice that is provided to you places your interests first. It doesn't consider the needs of your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, your coworkers. It considers you first. You first. If now's the time to schedule some time to talk with a financial advisor, I would love the opportunity to meet with you. Our phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Leave a message on the phone. Jody, my assistant, will call you back Monday morning. We'll get some time scheduled for you, and you can start the new year off feeling really good about the direction of your financial plan. You know, that's what a lot of people think about when they start thinking about the end of the year, is what is my New Year's resolution going to be? You know, a lot of people talk about losing weight. They talk about putting more muscle mass on. They talk about buying a new car or improving the job situation that they might have. But the one thing that you can do that takes very little effort is getting your financial house in order. Do you know why it takes little effort? Because once you organize it, once you gather all the stuff, if you're willing to bring it to a financial planner, you've now pushed the responsibility off to somebody else. You've delegated something that you just don't want to do anymore. And yes, you'll pay for it, but you'll feel good that your financial house is in order. Look, when we last left, I was talking about some of the tax planning ideas that you might consider as we head toward the end of this year and what we plan for next year. Like we said, with Trump in office, or Trump soon to be in office, I should say, you're not likely to see your tax rates go up. In fact, you're likely to see them either stay level or go down. And one of the things we talked about earlier, for those that need it, and there's not that many, it's very possible that the estate tax could go away. The federal estate tax, I should say. Right now, in the 2000 and as we head into 2017, if you have an estate that's greater than $5.5 million, which is very few people, you will have to pay an estate tax of roughly 40% on everything over. And that also means that if you died and your money goes to your spouse, so everything over $11 million, 5.5 plus 5.5, it's a lot of money. There's not a lot of people that are worried about that. I will tell you this, and many people don't realize it. In the state of Massachusetts, the estate tax limit is $1 million. So there's a lot of people in America, a lot of people in Massachusetts, I should say, that will likely owe estate taxes when they die for the state of Massachusetts. But if the federal estate tax were to go away, there needs to be some consideration for how that might change. You see, one of the things that happens today, and we talked about this idea of GE stock, using that as an example. If you bought GE stock at $2 a share years ago when you started working there, and today it's selling at $30 a share, man, you've made a really nice profit. Let's say you invested, you know, $1,000 and today it's worth $300,000. And you know that if you sold that stock, man, you'd have to pay an income tax on that. 20%, certainly, at least on that, plus a state income tax. And you might say, well, why would I want to sell GE? It pays such a good dividend. I know I get the dividend every quarter. But one of the other reasons why people generally don't sell stock as they age, as they get older, is that there's been this rule that's been called a step up in basis, which means that if you paid a dollar or $2 a share, let's say, or use the example that I gave you, you spent $1,000 for GE stock. Today it's worth $300,000. if you die and you pass it to your spouse, to the next generation, whatever it is, they inherit that money at $300,000, and their new basis is also $300,000. You avoid having to pay the tax on the difference between $1,000 and $300,000. That's a pretty big deal. The kids get that money basically for free. But one of the provisions that is being considered, if the estate tax law, if the estate tax were to go away at the federal level, they're also considering the elimination of the step up in basis, which means that if you were to die and the kids inherited that $300,000 in GE stock, they'd get it. But when they sold it, they'd have to pay the tax on it. They'd have to pay the capital gains. And you might say, what do I care? I'm dead. But that is one of the considerations. So that's kind of how they're balancing out. Actually, under that scenario, the government will actually make a ton more money. A ton more money by switching that strategy. That creates more revenue. The other place where revenue is likely to come back into play here is, I've talked about this, the repatriation of money that's going to come back from outside of the country. I mean, that could be a big deal. That could be a lot of revenue that comes into this country. That could be a big deal. But talking about tax strategies for you, some other things to think about. Look, if you're over 70 and a half, or just let's imagine you turn to 70 and a half this year, you have an obligation to take money from your IRA. It's called a required minimum distribution. And what if you have four or five IRAs? Do you have to take distributions from all of them? Maybe. Let's talk about how minimum distributions from IRAs work. At the beginning of this year, January 1st, the IRS was notified of all of the IRA and retirement accounts that you own. All of those financial entities had to report that, and they filed them and submitted them attached to your Social Security number. So the IRS was informed as to what that number is. Let's say they all added up to $200,000 in total. The IRS then reports out on January 1st, well, over the course of this year, if you're 70 and a half, over the course of this year, you're going to have to take out, I'm just using a number here, 3.6% of the value. That's the required minimum distribution. So what's 3.6% of $200,000? Call it $6,500. I'm rounding here. $6,500. That would be taxable to you, and you have to take the money. Now, do you have to spend the money? No. You can take that money and put it in the bank. You can put it in your joint account. You are going to have to pay tax on the money, but you don't have to spend it, but you have to take the money. Well, oftentimes we find around November and December, there are people that are scrambling. They realize that either A, they forgot to take their minimum distribution, or B, they realize that, oh my God, I still have 401ks held with previous employers. And I need to take money from those 401ks as well, because if you don't take the right amount of money, did you know that the penalty is 50%? Not 15, 50% penalty for not taking the right amount. So that is why we strongly, strongly recommend to folks in their 60s, as you're approaching retirement, one of the ways that you get your financial house in order is you get all of your retirement accounts under one roof. Now, people say, well, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. Well, you're not. You're just putting them with one financial institution who can offer you up thousands of different types of investment options if you'd like. You can have lots and lots of choices, but at least the calculation is done in one place. Look, as people get older, they want to simplify. That's really what it's all about, making things less complicated, because you want to focus on the things that you love to do, the things that you control, whether it's spending time with mom, whether it's spending time with dad, whether it's traveling, whether it's dinners together, whether it's doing what you truly want to do. The last thing you want to be bogged down with is spending 6 hours trying to figure out your taxes, or trying to figure out, oh my God, did I take my minimum distribution? Or what should I do about my HSA or my Medicare accounts? You don't want to be worried about that stuff. Simplify it. And yeah, might it cost you a little bit more money? Yeah, it will. What's the cost of missing out on the time you spend with mom? What's the cost of the time you'll spend on not being able to go on that vacation with the kids or the grandkids? That stuff is priceless. You can't give that stuff up. Yet are you going to try to save yourself $50 and forget, spending Mother's Day with your mom or going out to the ballpark with your dad so you can save yourself $50 because you wanted to spend a couple extra hours doing the taxes? No, don't do that. It's not worth it. You know that it's not worth it. You know, I oftentimes find it amazing that people will go out and they'll think nothing about dropping $200 for dinner. Go out for dinner, think nothing about it. Get wine, drinks, $200 for dinner. Yet you want to buy a pair of shoes that cost $200. Your wife wants to buy a pair of shoes that cost $200. And you go, there's no way in hell I'm spending $200 for a pair of shoes. You got a budget of $50. So wait a second. Let me be sure I got this right. So and people are looking at me crazy, right? So think about this. You're willing to spend $200 for a meal that tomorrow will be all done and you'll eat another meal, but you won't spend the $200 for a pair of shoes that she just absolutely adores that she'll love to wear 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times. I think the shoes become actually a better deal. I think we misconstrue what the values are of certain things that we do. You know, is it worth sometimes a $200 meal rather than a $45 meal? Sometimes maybe, but what if we balance them out a little bit? You'd have extra money to do some of the stuff and spend on things that you might want. You know, one of the things that I learned as I've gotten older is that it's worth buying quality, not so much the quantity. Look, and I rag on this company all the time. You want to go to Forever 21 at the mall, and that's where all the kids want to go because it's cheap stuff. You buy stuff at Forever 21. It looks great. The kids bring it home. Mom, look what I got at Forever 21. It looks fabulous. Fits them just nicely. Then they wear it once, throw it in the wash. They'll never wear it again because it's either all stretched out, it shrunk up, strings popped out, buttons fell off. The glitter doesn't hang right anymore because it was never made to be washed. It was just made to be worn once. But you buy quality. You talk about one of our advertisers here, Ghibli's. You go to Alan Ghibli's place and you're going to get good quality stuff. The way your pants fit, the way your shirt fits, the way your jacket fits, you're going to feel good in that suit, not just once, but for a long, long, long time. You got to make sure that you're getting the best value for the money that you spend. Yes, sometimes it's more money up front, but it is worth it in the long run. All right, we got more information to share. I want to remind you about our newsletter that we put out each and every Friday morning. It's called Planning Pointers. It arrives in your mailbox at 10:30 a.m. If you want my newsletter, more than 7,000 of these newsletters go out each and every Friday morning. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website, click on the button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter, and boom, you will be signed up. It'll be that simple, and you'll start getting the newsletter next Friday. But for now, I've got to take a break. We will be right back with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. We are in our last and final segment. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you survived Black Friday. I hope you survived Thanksgiving Day. Probably ready to get the kids back to school because they've been home for 4 days or so. But kids are coming back too. I mean, if your kids are in college, they're coming home for a couple of weeks and they'll be home for college break. A lot of great things happen in the month of December. You'll go to holiday parties. You'll go to Secret Santa things. You'll go to Christmas caroling, whatever it might be that you want to do. But we all spend a lot of money around Christmas time, too, don't we? Yeah, it seems like that is an enormous amount of money. I will tell you, I think one of the coolest, you're going to laugh when I tell you this. I got this really cool stocking stuffer idea. You're going to laugh because you're going to be kind of grossed out when I tell you about it. But I bought a whole bunch of these things and I'm going to use them as stocking stuffers. This is an item that I guess appeared on Shark Tank. And do you know when you get up in the middle of the night and you have to go to the bathroom, but you really don't want to turn on the lights because it's dark already? And if your bathroom is part of, like, let's say you're in a master bedroom where the bathroom is in the bedroom already, the last thing you want to do is flip on the light because you don't want to wake up your spouse, your partner, whatever. But imagine if you were able to walk into your bathroom and as soon as you were approaching the toilet, it lit up for you. I know you're going to think this is the weirdest thing. It's called Illumabowl. Illumabowl, Illumabowl.com. No, I do not work for them, but I thought this was the coolest idea. So what this is, it's a little suction cup sensor that sits on the side of the toilet bowl. It is motion operated and it runs on two AAA batteries. So when you walk, when there's any motion that's sensed near the Illumabowl, near the toilet, the bowl lights up because there's an LED light that shines into the bowl, and it's fluorescent colors. It rolls with colors. It's pink, then it's blue, then it's purple, then it's white. And I thought, this is nuts. So I figured I'd buy one. So I bought one, and I tried it out. My wife, Laura, thinks it is the coolest gadget ever. She absolutely loves it. And so I bought one. I bought a bunch more. I'm going to use them as gifts, but they're not expensive either. I mean, you're always looking for some fun stuff to give, like for Secret Santa gifts, and they say that you got to be under $20. These are $14.99. It's really simple to install, and I'm telling you, no one's paying me to do this, but you know, sometimes I come across some gadgets or gizmos that I think are great deals. I'm telling you, you will be the hit of the party if you go and order Illumabowl. And you can do, it'll say it's from Shark Tank. There's a few other makers as well of it. This is the one that was on Shark Tank. Free shipping. I got it in 2 days. It was fabulous. I don't think it's maybe on Amazon. I don't know. I just went directly to the source, or I went directly to the bowl. No, I don't know what the right term is there. But I will tell you, it is fast. And when the lights are on in the bathroom, it's not doing the light because it's only motion sensed in the darkness. It is very, very cool. I'm telling you. They are going to sell millions of these things. I love the idea. So it's called Illumabowl. If you're looking for a little stocking stuffer, I mean, look, they may even sell it at Bed Bath & Beyond for all I know. But I did it, and I would suggest you do it too. All right, enough of that. I'm always trying to provide you a little financial advice in a language you can understand. This is something you can understand, right? You got to come up with a cute, under $20 item. How many people want another bottle of wine? How many people want another Lifesaver house? You know, remember those things? You used to get the Lifesaver house, the storybook of Lifesavers. And I used to think that was the coolest thing when I was a kid. This is something that an adult will cherish, absolutely cherish. And it's under $20. Get it. I'm telling you, you will love this thing. All right. A couple other things as we head into the end of the day. The markets have somewhat surprised us, haven't they? I mean, following this election, people thought that this market would absolutely plummet. It would just go to hell in a handbasket, as they say. It would be miserable. And all that's happened is the market has gone up. Why has that happened? Why? Everybody, for the longest time leading up to this election, thought that if Donald Trump had a chance to win this election, there would be a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And markets don't like uncertainty. And remember, the weekend before the election, when Comey started sharing that he was going to start reopening up the investigation around email, people began to think, oh my goodness, Trump could potentially win this thing. And we saw the markets drop a lot of points, almost 800 points in a couple days. And then when the email situation was dropped, we saw the market turn around on Monday. It turned around again on Tuesday. And then we headed into election night. And around 11 o'clock, as people began to realized that it was possible that Clinton could lose, the futures markets started to drop. They dropped 300. Then it was 400. And as it got closer and closer, it hit as low as almost 900 points on the Dow. When the market opened up the morning after the election, after people had gotten over their hangovers and woke up and they said, this is a dream, right? The market opened up down 300. But it ended the day, ended Wednesday up for the day. All of a sudden, people weren't so worried, or at least investors, people that owned businesses, weren't so scared anymore. And for whatever reason, like it or not, you might not like what he says, how he says it, what he's doing, but people seem to believe that if we can get people back to work again, if we can build an infrastructure program that we're serious about putting America first, it could be enormously, enormously successful for workers, for citizens, for our economy. And for whatever reason, the next days that have followed and the week and a half that has now followed, almost 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I should say, has continued to carry that momentum. Should you be investing in the stock market? Should you be investing in the bond market? How should you invest these days? Well, I would tell you to invest carefully. I would tell you that if you were not investing in the market right now and you just had cash and you said, I want to get in, I would tell you to dollar cost average in. Take a 5-month approach. Take a 4 or 6 month approach. If you have $100,000 that you want to invest or $1 million that you want to invest, invest 20% of it. Leave the rest in cash. Move the next chunk in the following month or move it in when there are dips. There is one thing that I'm absolutely certain of. This market is going to go down. And it's going to go down 5 or 10% faster than we can blink an eye. And then it will turn around and go back the other way. And I'm not saying this out of speculation. History tells us this. It happens all the time. Yet we begin to get euphoric. There's a lot of people who think, oh my goodness, if this market just keeps racing up and racing up and racing up, I could miss out. So maybe I need to start putting money into the market. Folks, I promise you, there are going to be other opportunities to buy in. But I would not tell you to sell out with the expectation that the market's going to drop and then you buy in. That's wrong. But if you have cash around, if you're trying to be sensible, invest a little and wait. Be methodic. Be rational. If you can't do that on your own, if you don't have the wherewithal to do that, hire a financial advisor. That's their best gift that they can give to you. Their best gift is to be rational in emotional times. Maybe that's the present that you deserve for Christmas, is the present of a financial advisor. Someone that can help you avoid the uncomfortable conversations, or at least moderate the uncomfortable conversations that you have with your spouse or with your partner. Maybe that would be helpful. You know, I oftentimes find when couples come into my office that one couple always feels that the other couple is spending too much on something. One might say, well, my wife spends way too much money on her hair and her nails. And she might say, well, my husband spends way too much time at the golf course and hanging out with the guys at the 19th hole. Now, that's kind of interesting. Why do we spend this money? Do we spend this money because it's something we just like to do? But maybe it provides us some personal time for ourselves, something that, you know, I want to get away from everything else. You know, one of the things that retirees learn is that when the job is over and the two of you are back together again, life is going to be different. Remember, when you went to work and your spouse was at home, or perhaps the two of you went to work, you might have slept in the same room. You might have had dinner together periodically. You might have gone on a few vacations together, but you weren't together 24/7, were you? You were, the last time you were together, maybe 24/7, was when you were dating. And maybe that first year of your honeymoon, the first honeymoon year. But now 30, 40, 50 years have passed. The kids have grown, and you're coming back home. Your friends have left you back at work because they got to continue to do their job. And you decided, I don't want to work. I don't want this mess. I just want to be retired. And so now you and your spouse are back home. You wake up in the morning, stare at each other for breakfast, and you just kind of stare at each other because you've just run out of things to talk about. You might open up the newspaper and you start reading the newspaper. And then you turn the page. And the only thing that you really hear is the crispiness of the crinkles of the pages turning. Maybe you hear the little clink of a spoon in the coffee cup, or the plunk of a spoon into the cereal bowl. And then someone traditionally gets up, clears the table, puts the stuff in the sink, puts the stuff in the dishwasher, and then the next question that comes up, the next conversation item that you have with your spouse is, what do you want to do for lunch? Because breakfast was really entertaining now, wasn't it? And that's what happens. You need to find things to do. And it's okay to find some stuff that you do separately. Maybe that moment that you have at the salon where you're getting your nails and your fingers done, or your nails and your toes or your hair or whatever it is done, maybe that's enjoyable to you. Maybe going to the golf course is enjoyable to you. And maybe that is more valuable than spending on the premium package for cable. I don't know what it is, but if money becomes the issue, it shouldn't necessarily be about cutting back on the things that you personally love to do. Maybe there are some things that you're both paying for together, like a gym membership, that you never use. Maybe there are other ways in which you can cut expenses. I'm just telling you, as you head into this year, as you begin to think about the next steps in your life, the next stages in your life, whether it's pre-retirement, post-retirement, whether it's educating your kids, whatever it is, I want you to gain appreciation for what you've accumulated. Stop looking to say, oh, I wish I had, I wish I had, I wish I had. Sit down for a minute and really look around yourself as you sat at this Thanksgiving table. Reflect back on that. You look that you've got your kids, you've got your family, you've got people that love you, the people that are sitting at that Thanksgiving table, no matter how tough your situation might be, you know that the people sitting at that Thanksgiving table will likely be there for you. Can you think of any others that weren't at your table on Thursday that would be there for you? Are the people that are sitting at your table, the people in your toughest times, those are the people you'd call? My guess is that they probably are most of them. And that's why I would encourage you over the next few weeks to find more time and not wait till Thanksgiving to spend it with them. Make your time valuable. It doesn't need to cost a lot of money. You can do it a lot smarter. You can do it more fiscally responsible as well. But if the time comes where you say, Mark, this is overwhelming, I don't get it, I know I've got a lot of stuff in a lot of different places, I just don't know how to maximize it, I would truly appreciate it if you would give me a call. My phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We will provide you with a free initial consultation at our office. Like I said, give the office a call, 978-531-8108. Leave a message for Jody. She'll get back to you. We'll schedule some time so that you can look forward to the first of the year being the time when you can finally say, I'm getting my financial house in order. That's going to do it for me. I've got to get out of here. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.